Hello and welcome again to a midweek message from Myerstown Church of the Brethren. I'm Pastor Dennis. And last week I shared with you a message along the theme of getting ahead of God. And today my theme is getting in God's way. And I want you to hear a story from Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. This is Peter's retelling of an experience he had at a Gentile's house. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as it had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." Well, I've been wondering what's going on. In my 70 years, I've lived through some stressful times in history, like, for example, the Cold War. From my elementary school days, I remember those air raid drills when we were told to crawl under our desks. We didn't really know why, but we did it because we were told to. My junior high and high school years were times of national tragedy. The assassinations of President Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, and Martin Luther King Jr. When I was in college, our country was at the height of the protests of the Vietnam War. But you know, as difficult as some of those days were, in the last couple of months, I've really started to wonder again. What's going on? We're dealing with a pandemic and all the associated life changes that have come with it. In the matter of weeks, the economy took a huge plunge with many people out of work now and businesses teetering on the brink of failure. We're a divided nation as we approach another presidential election. And what about the church? What's happening with the church? Again, I look back to those golden years when I was growing up, when churches were overflowing with people and congregations were thriving. Now many churches like ours are just a fraction of what they once were in terms of numbers. What's happening to this world? And more importantly, what is God doing in the midst of all this? I think Peter was probably asking similar questions when he was told to go to the house of the Roman centurion Cornelius. What God was asking Peter to do was much more difficult than we can imagine. It challenged the very heart of who he was as a Jew. Peter had that vision where this large sheet was let down from the sky, filled with all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds, obviously foods which are prohibited by Jewish dietary laws. And that voice told Peter to kill and eat, but those dietary regulations were much more than just a matter of law. They were a matter of identity for Peter and the whole community of the Jews. Those laws symbolized who they were as the people of God. And then Peter was instructed to go to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius, a Gentile, an outsider to Judaism, but not just any outsider. He's one of those despised Roman conquerors. What God was asking of Peter required him to let go of much of what he had been taught was important to his faith. God was asking him to leave a place of security and identity and go out into what was a previously forbidden area with nothing else than God's word as a vision to guide him. It was no small thing God was asking of Peter. Acts makes it very clear that this wasn't Peter's idea, but that the Holy Spirit was leading in this encounter the whole way. And while Peter was speaking to Cornelius and his household, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening. The gift of the Holy Spirit was given to Gentiles too. God was doing something new. But after Peter saw this same grace of God in people who were different from himself, he was criticized by some of the other believers. You entered the home of Gentiles and even ate with them. Peter's acceptance of Cornelius and his household created a crisis in the early Christian community. It wasn't just about Peter and a few Gentiles. This event was a turning point in the life of the post-resurrection church. This is the single most crucial decision the post-resurrection community would face. It would define the nature of the Christian community and the mission of the church forever. And the issue here wasn't really about unclean food. It was about who was in and who was out in this new community. The church was at a crossroads and faced some most difficult questions, questions of identity and purpose and mission. As right and necessary and important as some things may have been in the past, time and history move on. Is something that at one time was a perfectly legitimate expression of the faith always to be so? Is it possible that something that at one time was a perfectly legitimate expression of the faith may itself become a hindrance and destructive to God's purposes? How can we know when God is calling us to change, and dare we change lest we abandon who we are? These are difficult questions. In the conversation of Cornelius and his household, in the gift of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles, Peter and the post-resurrection church found confirmation that God was indeed doing a new thing. And as Peter said, "Who was I to stand in God's way?" Then, today, the church is at a crossroads. I truly believe that God is doing a new thing. In the midst of these disruptive days, God's purposes still are being fulfilled. The depth of God's love for all people is still the church's primary message. I'm convinced that today God is calling us to move beyond where we are to where we need to be in order that we might be able to be God's people in this changing world. One of the lessons we must take from the experience of those post-resurrection Christians is that the status quo cannot and will not prevent God from fulfilling his purposes and plans for the world. The gospel does not exist for the sake of preserving our closely held traditions, even good and valid traditions. The gospel exists for the sake of calling people into relationship with God. What is God doing? Well, I think God is trying to wake us up. God is trying to get us to see that some of the things which may have given us an identity in the past, some of those beliefs we've held so dear, some of those ways of doing church that we hold so tightly even though they're not working anymore. God is trying to get us to see those things that now may be a hindrance and destructive to the purposes for which we exist as God's people at this point in history. In times when the world is rapidly changing, in a time when God is shaking things up in the church, we're forced to ask ourselves some difficult questions about things we may have held dear. We must continually wrestle with questions like, What does it mean for us to be the people of God with a message from God for the world? What does it mean to be a Christian in the world today? We're called to be the church in a world significantly different from the world of those first believers, a world significantly different from the world of our plain dressing brethren, forefathers, and mothers, a world significantly different from the world in which many of us grew up, and significantly different from what it was even 5 months ago. The hard questions come when we as the church see clearly enough what is happening that we begin asking whether some of those things that have given us identity in the past have now become barriers to carrying out our God-given mission. There are no easy answers. I recently challenged the commissions and church board to be thinking about what Myerstown Church of the Brethren wants to be in the future. These kinds of discussions involve answering some difficult questions. There are no easy answers to the questions we face, but maybe it's not so important to have easy answers. Maybe more important is that we struggle with the questions, because if we don't struggle with the questions, we certainly won't find any answers. And maybe the most important question we need to be asking is this: what is God doing in the world and in the church today? Perhaps the greatest task for us as God's people in the world today is to find out where God is already working and then ask the Holy Spirit to show us how we can participate in that work. Perhaps we've often missed the work of God in the world because we were waiting for something to happen in our own little corner on our terms and in ways we think things should happen, when God was already over there at Cornelius's house doing amazing things. I know it all can get really overwhelming. We look at what's going on in the world and we wonder, what can I do about it? We each have our own lives, our own families, our own problems. Then we hear the preacher talking about things like joining God and what he's doing in the world, being God's people in the world. Please, I've got enough of my own stuff to handle. Believe me, I understand. But maybe we make it too difficult, because participating in what God is doing in the world begins right where we are. Change begins with me and with you, right where we are. What is God doing in the world? Well, he's making all things new. He's still creating, and he's still working out his purposes and plans for his creation. He still loves all of his creatures, and God still invites us to join him in what he's doing. And when we see God at work in the world, like Peter saw God at work in Cornelius's house, well, we best either get out of the way, or better yet, join God in what he's doing. Would you pray with me? God, in the midst of all the craziness in this world today, open our eyes that we can see you and what you are doing. So often our vision is blinded by events, by our own busyness, by crises in the world and in the church. As we look to the future of this church, may we be willing to give up what might be standing in the way of your Spirit's work within us. May we be willing to step out of our comfort zones and follow you where you want us to go. God, work in us that we might be the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good rest of the week, and I hope to see you on Sunday morning.